Senator Larson get started with his bill.
Thank you, Chair Pappas and members.
We do have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Michelle and I bring this bill to you. It happens that Senate File 725 was an issue that both Senator Michelle and I had separately been working on and trying to find a way to increase college savings, completely independent of each other, and didn't know each other was working on it until we sort of got close to a bill introduction, and we agreed that that rather than have separate tracks, that we would work together to introduce a plan for increased college savings. And before I present the details of the bill, I'd like an introduction from Senator Michelle.
Thank you, please. Senator Larson. Madam Chair, just to be clear, Senator Larson's bigger than I, but he's also faster. He's much faster. And I also want to note that this is language and an issue that Senator Latz and I discussed a couple months ago, I think inspired by the committee's visit to the Office of Higher Education, where we learned a little more about the Minnesota College Savings Plan. So I'm excited to bring with Senator Larson something where we can talk about what I think of as the third leg of the stool. We always like talking about stools around here. The third leg of the stool when we talk about college education costs. First leg is tuition. We've had a lot of discussion about that. Second leg would be grants and loans. We've had discussion about that. The third leg is savings. What can we do to incent families, students, to save more earlier? And I think we've got a good plan in Minnesota. I think we've fallen a little bit behind now compared to some other states, and that's the reason for Senator Larson's bill. Thanks for giving me a minute with you.
Absolutely, Senator Michelle.
Senator Michelle and Senator Larson, I know it's actually not my my purview as a policy committee, but I was just wondering if you've gotten a fiscal note on this yet.
Madam Chair, I don't have the official fiscal note, although I believe that the estimates, and I was thinking that we might have one coming, but it's about $6 million a year.
Okay.
And basically what this bill would provide is a $10,000 subtraction on income per couple or $5,000 per individual to contribute to a 529 savings plan, the Minnesota 529 plan. Currently, we, as you probably all are aware, what the 529 plan provides for lower income individuals a state match, but also provides a tax benefit in terms of not taxing interest earned and also not taxing the distribution. As I've talked to folks about finding multiple ways to make college more affordable as we've seen increased costs, one of those is to give people an incentive to save. And I think providing an income tax subtraction is that incentive, and I think is a good piece of a strategy to make college more affordable for families. And it does have a $6 million, I think just a little bit more than six, and then grows a little bit with its tails. And so that obviously would be an issue that the tax committee is going to be concerned about. But I think this is an attractive way to provide some benefit to folks that want to be looking ahead and saving for college.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Larson, Senator Michelle. Do other states have similar sorts of programs? Any comment or?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Lynch. Thank you for asking that question. I had actually planned to mention that 32 other states currently offer some form of subtraction on income for a 529 plan contribution, and so. And that's frankly how I came to this idea was as I was hearing people talk about, you know, in the fall about the increasing cost of higher education in trying to finance our kids' education, I looked at what other states were doing. And this is one of the things that popped out at me that was something that we could provide, you know, with a modest state cost that would probably have a pretty big impact on those that are saving for the future.
And Madam Chair, if I could elaborate to Senator Lynch's question, I think almost every state, I think it's fair to say almost every state has one of these 529 plans. And the 529, that's just a number from the IRS Internal Revenue Code. So they're called 529 plans. But each state has, almost every state has one of these plans. And 32 of the states that do have this income tax deduction. Minnesota does not. So what we've seen is that, again, we've kind of fallen behind in our in what we're marketing to families and to students, and we want to make sure our plan looks just as good as these 32 other states.
Well, we hope that the tax committee you know, has concerns about the cost of higher education. I mean, that should certainly concern all of us as citizens and as parents, and that they could do their little part. And we'll try to do our other two legs of the stool, the financial aid and holding down tuition. But be helpful. It'd be nice if the tax committee helped out. Do you have anyone else you wanted to testify, Senator Larson?
No.
Okay. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, a question for Senator Larson. This would apply only for money which is invested in the state-operated college savings plan, correct?
That's correct, Madam
Senator
Chair
Larson.
And Senator Latz.
So only for Minnesota colleges?
Well, only.
Is that the case or no?
Madam Chair, only for the 529 plan that has been approved under the Minnesota College Savings Plan. And the reason for that, and that is the arrangement that is in place is a contract between the state and an investment company that is exclusive with them, but as a part of that, the state has some impact in terms of how its fees are determined, and it also allows for there to be that the negotiated the match from the state for some amount of the folks that are providing income or contributions.
This is what we've had at $300, but now we raised it in the omnibus bill to $400. The state will match.
And, Madam Chair, it certainly would be possible, you know, to look at it in a broader sense, although expanding it to plans offered in, or investments offered throughout the other states, it no doubt would grow our fiscal note. And so one of my concerns with that is it maybe goes from this fiscal note number, even though I think it's modest, given our current constraints, may still be a tough sell. I think if we open it up larger, my concern is it becomes impossible. And so it might be an opportunity for us to start here and see what kind of participation we have and then take a look at it in the future.
Madam Chair.
And Senator Latz.
So the state 529 plan, the money that is saved there, it can only be used on Minnesota colleges or it can be used on colleges anywhere, right?
Anywhere.
Yeah, Senator Michelle.
Okay.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Okay. This is the symbol for anywhere.
Madam Chair and Senator Latz, it's
Senator
just
Larson.
That it can only be invested with the one investment tool that we have, or the one investment company that we currently have. Right. And again, to expand it would include a whole lot more folks, and that probably is desirable, although it probably really grows the fiscal note.
Right, Madam Chair.
Senator Latz.
So my point then is that as a tool for the state of Minnesota to encourage investment in the Minnesota approved or contracted college tuition savings plan, it seems to me this is an appropriate use of state taxpayer dollars, but it would not unduly restrict access to this for parents who want to start saving for their kids but aren't sure where their kids are going to end up wanting to go to college. So if I'm looking at this for my 8-year-old, if my child decides to follow my footsteps and go to the University of Wisconsin, with or without reciprocity program involvement, I would not be restricting my son's choice of college by investing this, but there would be an incentive for me to invest this in the Minnesota plan as opposed to investing it in a Wisconsin plan or a Connecticut plan or in a plan that's not tied to a state but isn't tied to a particular investment company like Vanguard or Janus or something like that.
Right.
So for purposes of these investments, it would keep the money here in Minnesota.
Oh.
And then would enable the Minnesota investments to have more options and more opportunities for investment through the Minnesota Contracted 529 plan, which would benefit everyone who's currently invested in the plan as well.
Any other questions? Then Senator Michelle, move the bill to taxes.
Yes, so moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Michelle moves that Senate File 725 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. Any other discussion? Anyone else in the audience want to comment? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. Senator Tomasoni? Ready to go. Senator Tomasoni, Senate File 1970. Senator Tomasoni, I'm so excited you have a bill in committee.
Madam Chair, I prefer amendments. You know,
I know you do.
Madam Chair, Senate File 1970 was actually at your urging to get it put into a bill. But what this is all about is, for many, many years, people in northeastern Minnesota have always talked about having a four-year institution on the Iron Range or somewhere in northeastern Minnesota, somewhere between UMD and Bemidji State. And it seems to be an appropriate time to try and find out if that's a doable thing. And so what we've been doing is we've been talking to both of the systems to see if there's some way we could come up with some kind of a study that would possibly put together the necessities that there might be in order for us to actually promote this type of a campus and possibly have a four-year institution up in our area. So I have with me Linda Bear and Martin, and they both can give you their takes on this and whether or not we need to change any of the language or put anything a little bit differently. But I think both are very supportive of it and would like to try and participate and see what we can do. So,
great.
So.
Welcome.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Wicker.
Yes, as we listen to testimony, is there a map that would show existing higher ed facilities in the range area and the
somewhere
up in Minnesota?
There is one.
That we could look at?
I think we have it here.
I can tell you if you want to know where they are.
I just wanted to picture it, but
Senator Tomasoni.
Okay.
Well, there's a community college in Grand Rapids. There's a community and technical college in Hibbing. There's a community college in Virginia, and there's a technical college in Eveleth. And there's a community college in Ely also.
Could you talk a little louder, Senator Tomasoni? I just can't quite hear you.
There's the community and technical college in Grand Rapids. Then there's one in Hibbing. There's a community college in Virginia. Then the technical side of it is in Eveleth. And then there's a community and technical college in Ely, and then there's one in International Falls also. Okay, and I think this is focusing between Grand Rapids and Ely, but I don't think it needs to be exclusive to that area. I think it can be all inclusive to northeastern Minnesota.
So then you would have you'd have to go to Duluth for the University of Minnesota, Duluth.
Yeah, and there's UMD and there's St. Scholastica and there's
some private colleges.
Fond du Lacs and Cloquet and
Fond du Lac. And then you'd have to go to Bemidji.
Superior College.
Bemidji would be the closest four-year.
Bemidji and UMD and St. Scholastica are the closest four-years.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Chancellor Martin?
Chair Pappas and members of the committee, thank you for the invitation to testify today on behalf of the Mesabi Range Higher Educational Needs Assessment. This study, as proposed, would serve as a basis for potential educational partnerships between the University of Minnesota and MNSCU to provide expanded educational opportunities to meet employment needs on the Iron Range. As we review this study, there are two critical areas, we believe, to the development of education and employment opportunities on the range. The first would be student needs must be assessed, and the two-year colleges on the range need to be included in this study to determine what programs and specifically where 2+2 agreements exist, either with UMD or with one of the Minsky institutions, to determine which of the two-year programs, if converted to four-year programs, would address employer needs. The issue of appropriate graduate programs also needs to be addressed, specifically to address employer needs. As employer needs are assessed, the following must be considered: the resurgence of the iron ore industry, the development of the mini steel mills, the construction of additional power generation facilities, and the need, for instance, for mercury abatement as coal-powered power plants are generating power. Those issues need to be addressed in terms of graduate education. There are other mining developments, specifically precious metals, which need to be factored in to any needs assessment of employer needs and also of educational needs on the range. There is an obvious need to work with each of the various employers to determine projected employment needs over the next 10 to 15 years. A good example of that would be the industrial safety degrees that are required in all of these various industries, whether it's power generation or mining. Where can those students be prepared to assume responsibilities in industrial safety with the resurgence of the mining industry? That's just one example. It's close to my heart because we have a master's degree in industrial safety and have provided those students up on the range for many years. But that needs to be assessed so that we don't have 350 people qualified in 15 jobs. So the needs assessment is a very, very important part of knowing what we need to do to meet the needs of employers. It should be pointed out also that there's no study in which the university system, or specifically UMD, has participated for many years. In fact, the last study resulted in a legislative special in 1989 to establish the Arrowhead University Consortium located in Hibbing, Minnesota. The University of Duluth operates the Coleraine Minerals Laboratory in Coleraine, Minnesota, which was the former lab for United States Steel, then UNX, and later sold to UMD in 1996. We took possession and began doing research in 1998. There have been numerous changes to the lab to accommodate specific research projects. Mercury abatement is one. Value-added production of taconite is another. All of that research previously done by United States Steel, we are now participating in at the Coleraine Labs. At that lab, we employ anywhere from 4 to 9 individuals, depending on the type of research funding and grants that we have available. All of the individuals are involved in a mineral-focused research based on more cost-effective and efficient ways of mining and of producing power. Additionally, I'm going to get to the point here in just a second. Additionally, we have centers of economic development that spread from Duluth up to Ely and are in 4 or 5 cities on the range. Those are typically the types of laboratories where undergraduates would work in undergraduate research in very designated and specific areas, as would graduate students work in areas such as the Coleraine Laboratory. I mention that because if this study is done, and as it's done, it needs to acknowledge the type of program that would most effectively meet the educational needs as well as the research needs of employer-based needs assessment. That's the reason I was not just to indicate that we're doing economic research, but those are laboratories for undergraduate research as well as in Coleraine laboratories for graduate research, and we have engineering students occasionally from the Twin Cities and from Duluth that work in the Coleraine labs in engineering research. The outline of the study was put together and sort of in combination, drafted by Minsky, revised by us, and back to Minsky. But the potential demand for educational programs would be a key. We would also have to have market research into employer, student, and community needs and delivery models to inform academic programming. The third area that would be very important is the current presence of higher education in the region and the potential for expanding partnerships and resources. We currently have close to 45 We have 92 2+2 agreements in the state of Minnesota with two-year colleges. About 65 of those are with range schools. We would need to determine which of those could be easily converted to four-year programs and how that would mesh with in meeting employment needs. We would need to have appropriate undergraduate, graduate programs, specific research questions to support the needs of mining and other industries of northeastern Minnesota. This work will help set a portion of the research agenda for the University of Minnesota Duluth and the Coleraine Laboratory. We believe it is important that an independent study be done, and based on the results of that study, we would determine whether or not developing appropriate programs by the university in partnership with MinSCU would make sense. We see this as a great opportunity for the university system and for MinSCU to work together in an area in which we both have had a long and strong history. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chancellor. Any questions for Chancellor Martin? Chancellor Martin, does the Arrowhead Consortium still exist?
Madam Chair, yes, it does still exist. And some undergraduate programs are offered through the Arrowhead Consortium, both by MinSCU and by UMD, and the College of St. Scholastica.
When you mentioned that there were 65 2+2 agreements that existed with range two-year schools, those were not just University of Minnesota agreements. That included MinSCU as well?
Madam Chair, we have 65 2+2 agreements, and I know that Bemidji has some, and I'm unfamiliar with the other schools.
Okay.
But I believe Dr. Berg could answer that question.
All right.
For you.
That's fine for now. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chancellor Martin, I was just looking at the exact language of Senate File 1970, and, you know, I guess we can do a study of student demand and employer needs, but my guess is you're already doing that. I mean, I would think that all three of you at that table every year have a sense and are keeping track of student demand and enrollment and demographics as well as employer needs. As you were saying, we've hopefully got a resurgence of employment up on the range. But, I mean, do you really need a study to be doing what I hope you're already doing?
Senator Michelle, Madam Chair, Senator Michelle, I believe that we need a study. We do not, on an annual basis, survey industry on the range. We're working with some of them to know what they need. That's why I could mention the Master of Industrial Safety. I could mention a Master of Engineering that would look at precious metals as well as taconite. But we do not do ongoing surveys of employment needs, nor do we do ongoing surveys of student demand. We base our judgments on student demand primarily on applications to the university. So I think an objective study could be of benefit both to the university system and to MinSCU.
Any other questions for the Chancellor? Then Vice Chancellor Baer.
Thank you, Chair Pappas. I'm pleased to be here to talk about the support of this feasibility study for the range. I'll give you a little history. The Arrowhead University Consortium is a longstanding agreement, as Chancellor Martin mentioned. When I was at Bemidji State as both a senior vice president as well as interim president, we had long history in the range in terms of 2+2 programs. I went there often for the graduation ceremonies that were cohorts of students we were serving in relation to business and accounting as well as teacher education and occasionally other programs as the need was expressed. So the issue now is in the present, those 2+2 programs are becoming more and more important. Minnesota State Colleges and Universities have agreed upon transfer curriculum that we share with the University of Minnesota. We have 2+2 or what we call career pathways in critical industries. And I think the present is showing a resurgence, yes, but also still a continuing need for additional people in manufacturing, additional people in healthcare, additional people in the service industry, small business entrepreneurship development. And we would look forward to a study that would allow us to see how we would integrate together with the other people that are providing education on the range already. So it would be the full continuum of educational opportunities, from whether it might be a course or a small certificate or degree that would help the population, all the way to graduate degrees that we could be offering. What we are finding in some of our cases, 25% of the people coming to some of our technical colleges already have degrees. They are coming there now for additional degrees in technical skills or competencies that they may now find more important to their career life at the place where they are now. We would see that this feasibility study would help us tune into that. I remember visiting Hibbing Community College recently, where we had a major program assisting dislocated workers, and there was a former miner who was in their nursing and home health care program, and he gave a marvelous testimonial of finding a new career pathway now, a new life, and a new support base for his family because of the programming he was able to do in this area today. So for the future, we continue to talk about STEM and science, technology, engineering, and manufacturing as critical. I know these are critical also in the range. We have a nice two-year award-winning kind of program at Itasca in Grand Rapids, Itasca Community College. It does have 2+2 agreements. It also is connected to our Center of Excellence in Manufacturing and Applied Engineering at Bemidji State University. The future needs us to increase the coordination, integration, and alignment of our programming. These are precious resources that you allocate to us to better educate the population, and a more precise study of future needs will help us serve better in that area. Thank you.
Great. Any questions? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have no objection to doing the study, but I guess I don't want to get people's hopes up too high. One of the things that I think we've noticed in the past, and it's no insult to your area, Senator Tomasoni, because I think it's beautiful and lovely, but it's hard to draw people there on a permanent basis. So unless they have jobs there, we have not been very successful about drawing other students into the northern part of our state. You know, I think of the struggles with enrollment that Crookston has, that Bemidji has, that many of these community colleges even have. They're not growing their enrollment hardly at all, and they're serving the local needs, but that doesn't mean we need a big program, because the local needs, I think this study will probably indicate, are somewhat limited to the people who are working there and need some improved job skills and such. I'm worried about another Crookston, to tell you the truth. I think that Crookston sounded like a good idea when it started out, but the enrollment there has been an issue constantly. And I don't want your areas to think your area to think that is going to be the answer to your needs. I think a hybrid program is probably much more practical, and it won't be real big probably. But once we find out what the needs are, I think we should certainly strive to address them.
Well, and I think
Senator
that
Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Roebling. Your point about attracting people to rural Minnesota is well taken, and in many cases, it's related to professional people like doctors and dentists, and whether or not the spouses want to come along or what the situation might be. In the case of these types of jobs that the chancellor just addressed, there's some potential on the Iron Range right now to have some huge needs for workers, and I like the idea of doing this study because, as you heard, the 2+2 programs are pretty successful, and they're filling a niche. The idea of having a four-year university that could be serving some of the needs in the area, to me, says that it shows kids that they have an opportunity to get their education there, to graduate there, and to go to work there. And I think the fact that many of them participate in the two-year programs and then go on to higher ed somewhere else and finish their degree in St. Cloud or UMD or Minneapolis or where it might be, ends up taking them out of the area for the final 2 years of their college and ends up putting them to work somewhere else. If in fact they see the opportunity for staying there for 4 years and actually attending a four-year university, which is way different than a 2+2 type of setting, I think it puts a whole new light on it. Now, your point is well taken about what happened in Crookston, and maybe this isn't the right area for a four-year university, but I do think that from what I've heard in my area for many, many years, the clamoring for a four-year university, the minimum we can do here is try and find out if it's feasible.
Chancellor Martin, what's the enrollment at Duluth? And maybe you can, I don't know if you know a breakdown in terms of percentage of kids that are from the range and what percentage are from other parts of Minnesota.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the enrollment at UMD at this time, I understand it goes up a little bit on a daily basis, but it's roughly 10,350. 15 to 20% of those students are from the Iron Range.
And is that your capacity?
10,500, we would like to think, is our capacity. We're landlocked.
Yeah.
When she got there, there was only about 7,000, though.
So you are drawing from all over the state and Wisconsin? And
Madam Chair, we're drawing from across the northern tier, the eastern edge of North Dakota, across northern Minnesota, across Wisconsin. We go down into Wisconsin, and some from the Upper Peninsula. Mm-hmm. But we have a strong student base coming to us from the state of Wisconsin. May I add a comment in response to Senator Roebling's question? Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think that the comment that was made about the need for a hybrid program is an extremely important comment, because I don't think the state of Minnesota is about building new four-year colleges and universities in the typical model and format that I have at Duluth or Dr. Baer had when she was at Bemidji. What the state of Minnesota needs to be looking at is how do we address the need for employees and to balance that with the educational needs in the particular part of the state. And it may be that what we have is a combination of two or three four-year programs that really meet the needs of the particular industries and the students, I'm going to say located at Mesabi, just at Mesabi Community College, just because of its centrality to some of the mining industry. But I think that what we do need to think about is a hybrid institution, one that in residence maybe has two or three programs, and would be a combination of distance education put together with Minsky and the university. So there would be some residency to meet very specific needs, and there would be some hybrid programs. But I think that the problem would be if we decided, in my mind, I'm one person here, in my mind we might have a problem if what we did was tried to recreate what we started at Duluth in 1898.
Okay. Questions?
Madam Chair, can I add a couple of words to mm-hmm. line 1.11? Delete must and put will, insert will, and then after participate, put as partners. I think that's the intent, and then that makes
that
it.
That was in the original
language. In the original language, okay.
Senator Tomasoni moves on line 1.11, delete must, insert will, and after participate, insert as partners. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Anyone in the audience want to testify on 1970? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for
Thank
coming
you.
Down.
Yeah.
Thank
Senator
you, Mr. Chancellor. Senator Senjum.
Senator, Madam Chair, and perhaps Senator Tomasoni, as I read this bill here, we're going to study a few things about let's see, advise on the needs or identify needs. If you get down to lines 11, 12, 13, and so on and so forth, it kind of says what the study is going to do, but nowhere in that study do I see, at least in the bill, that there's any indication that the report will contain a recommendation on whether or not there be a four-year university established.
Right.
It seems to me that that's why you're here, and if that's why you're here, that we ought to put that in the bill.
But Senator Senjum, isn't that kind of assuming the outcome?
No.
That could be a recommendation, but it could be not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. My point was just, Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
Senator Senjum.
That the report, it doesn't even suggest, as I see it in the bill, that that any mention of the four-year university likelihood would occur in the report.
But I think with recommendations and plans for the region, it's pretty broad, but
if you're satisfied with it, that's fine.
I certainly think that what we've been talking about and the intent of this bill is definitely what I want to get done.
Okay.
And so I think I'm comfortable with the language.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Sengen.
Are we doing something with this?
Yes. Senator Tomassoni then moves that Senate File 1970 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the full Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good job.
Senator Pappas is coming up to present Senate File 153.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. You'd think with such a low number I would have gotten my witnesses here. I do have Mr. Hunter here. This issue of a tax credit for employers to pay for their employees' educational expenses or partially pay for it is really a recommendation that came from Mr. Joel Kramer with the Growth and Justice think tank. He could not be here today to talk about it. It was in one of their previous reports. And I think I had brought it before the committee before and sent it to taxes. I can't quite recall, but they haven't funded it in the past. So we're going to try again. This is really an issue around the incumbent workforce. When we've been doing our accountability work, we found that our incumbent workforce is not as skilled as they should be. So this is an effort to help them become better educated so that they can provide higher value to their employer and to the economy in the state of Minnesota. 2006. I think I need to change the effective date. Mr. Fuller, do you think that should be 2007? Okay. All right. Great. Okay. Mr. Hunter, did you want to comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name's Steve Hunter. I'm the Secretary-Treasurer of the Minnesota AFL-CIO. I'd like to make a couple comments about this bill. First of all, we think that it's a good bill, and we think that it should pass. It addresses three problems that I can see that are out there, and they're fairly major problems. One, as your committee is well aware and you've had many discussions about, is the high cost of education. This does make education more affordable for some people. Secondly, we need a better educated workforce. We know that the reason Minnesota has consistently been one of the top performing states economically is because of the level of education of our workforce. If we're going to continue to compete, continue to excel, we have to continually be upgrading the skills of our workforce. And the third thing is we have a number of working poor in this state, people who work full-time, but they still don't earn enough money really to make ends meet. The way this bill is targeted, I think it would particularly help this situation. It will help low-income workers upgrade their skills so they can become middle-income workers and perhaps, in the best of all worlds, even high-income workers. We think this bill is focused at the problem. We think this bill is a modest approach, but a sound approach, and we urge your passage.
Are there any questions from the members? I don't know if you mentioned Senator Pappas, but this is targeted for people who earn less than $12 an hour, which I think is significant in your goal of raising wages.
And typically, Madam Chair, employers who are employing workers at that rate, don't offer or can't afford to offer any kind of educational benefit. So this would be an incentive for them to be able to offer that to their workers. So they're coming in as a nurse's aide, I don't know if their wage is that low, but it might be, or in a nursing home, right? They would have a little bit of an incentive to maybe become the next level, to have a career path.
Are there any questions? Otherwise, do you have a motion for us, Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, I'd move that Senate File 153 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Taxes.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Bill does pass.
Okay, then, Ms. Shively, do we have plans for another meeting? Not Thursday. And maybe next week. I think we still have some confirmations to do. I have some other issues for the policy committee. We have a later policy deadline.
Okay,
Madam
so
Chair, you can adjourn.
So if there's no other business, the higher education meeting is now adjourned.
Okay. Peace be with you.